That was Loose Change by Pleasance there. You're on the Indie Media Show on Archer FM, The Sound Alternative, with Alex Wisson and Joni Boyd. We'll try to bring you that interview with one of the organisers of the A15 action over in Melbourne a little later on. But time now for a bit of an editorial on the unfolding situation in the Middle East, which we touched on in the introduction. Bear with me, listeners, because I'm going to give a bit of a potted history of Iran's role in the region, because it's worth saying, I think, in the context of Iran's multiple missile, ballistic missile and drone attack on Israel, and there were no casualties. Reportedly, a seven-year-old child was injured from shrapnel, that it's, I think, very tempting, very seductive for people on the left to play almost a game of cheerleading that and imagining that Iran represents an anti-imperialist force in the region. And I really want to convey the message very forthrightly that that is absolutely not the case. And the left has found itself in all kinds of political hot water, and I would say compromised positions over recent years in a number of conflicts. One example is the Syrian civil war, where the, to use the millennial terminology, tankies, Stalinists, sided with the Assad regime in its butchery, its barbarism against the democratic uprising there, complicated then later by the fact that there was Daesh elements and Salafist elements that were fighting Assad. But there were certainly some quarters of the left who saw the Syrian regime as an anti-imperialist force, because it was opposed by Israel and the United States and Britain and the major Western powers, which later directly intervened in the Syrian civil war. Of course, a major example also in recent times and contemporaneously is Putin's attack on Ukraine, which again, in the sort of very crude zero-sum game sort of rationale or schema, because Putin is ostensibly fighting against NATO expansion in Eastern Europe, and Ukraine is seen by some quarters on the left as a proxy force for United States imperialism. Therefore, Putin is seen as well as a champion of anti-imperialism and the global south against the US global hegemon. And I think the same can be said of this current situation. I've made a number of comments on previous shows about being cautious in terms of politically embracing the Houthis, for instance, Al-Ansar in Yemen, you know, which have, I think, uncontroversial, or at least it ought to be controversial to say, have you know, questionable politics, aren't necessarily friends of you know, let's say socialists or anarchists, of working class people, or of you know, LGBTQIA plus people and women and so on and so forth. So we can sort of take a position that, you know, that they are, and it's absolutely the case that it's legally justified in attacking Israeli shipping. That's, you can be seen as a defensive action against a genocidal action, and we can point out the grotesque hypocrisy of the Western media and Western governments decrying those attacks on shipping, which are, you know, often at a much lower level of military activity compared to the systematic, calculated mass murder of women and children in Gaza, a mass murder campaign that, as we know, Western governments fully support, despite cosmetic protestations to the contrary. But really, you know, and probably don't have time to go through the whole history of why Iran is not an anti-imperialist force, but suffice it to say, there has been periods of cooperation between the United States and Iran. Famously, many listeners would know about the Iran, so-called Iran-Contra affair, where the Reagan administration was selling weapons to Iran during its war with Saddam Hussein's Iraq throughout the 1980s. Whole long story behind that, where through the offices of the Central Intelligence Agency, cocaine was being imported via the Nicaraguan Contras, Panamanian banks involved, Colombian cartels flooding the streets of the United States with cocaine that was then, you know, transformed into crack cocaine, which, you think that's a conspiracy, that's all documented in terms of the links between, yeah, pretty fascinating story, actually, links between the CIA and Iran and Nicaragua, Colombian cartels, and the crack cocaine epidemic of the 80s. And without digressing too much, that I point that out as an example of the mullahs in Tehran are more than willing to cooperate with the United States if and when it suits their interests. There have been, you know, periods of detente, that the nuclear agreement, agreements over, you know, attacking certain Salafist groups in Iraq that Iran is also opposed to. And even in the light of this, you know, and it is an escalation, make no mistake about it, the 300 missiles and drones attacking Israel. But it is worth pointing out, the Iranian foreign minister, there's no reason not to believe this, gave the United States, although the United States is denying this, 72 hours notice of the attack, which probably partly explains actually why there's been no casualties, because the Americans and the British and the Israelis were well prepared for the attack. It had been publicly announced ahead of time, and there was, one commentator described it as, quote, a form of political theatre, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, insofar as it's in political science theory, sort of a realist theory of political science, there's this concept of displaying credibility, or credibly displaying your military capability to exert your power on the international stage. And that's really what this was. It was an exercise in demonstrating Iran's military capability, that it could really attack Israel, you know, in a large way if it's so fit. But it's clearly a very, very, although it might not seem so on the surface, a carefully calculated and limited attack that Iran has conducted, again with advance warning. Then it should be worth pointing out that the U.S. Central Command issued a statement that its ships in the region shot down some 80 drones. Rishi Sunak proudly declared that Royal Air Force had also shot down some of the drones. So this is, I think, probably the most dangerous element. One doesn't wish to be alarmist about it. It doesn't mean that a full-scale war between the United States, Britain, and Israel and Iran is about to break out. But that's, I think, highly significant that British Air Force planes and American ships have directly intervened in shooting down a number of these drones. And of course, all this happens against the backdrop of the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Despite, you know, sort of tactical and strategic concerns expressed by Netanyahu about the political danger of Israel attacking Rafah, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, is still hell-bent, and his war cabinet is still hell-bent on going ahead with a full-scale invasion of Rafah. The fog of war is such that it's unclear as to, you know, how and when that will unfold, but he does seem determined to go ahead with attacking that last sort of population stronghold, where, as you know, well, more than a million refugees have found sanctuary, fleeing from the north and central part of the Gaza Strip to the southern enclave of Rafah. And also, there's been saber rattling in response to Iran's attack with the members of the war cabinet, you know, calling for revenge and retaliation, which is also, of course, a danger. So we'll see what happens in the coming days. Very dangerous, certainly, but we have to temper that sort of sense of alarm with knowledge that this is possibly a limited strike by Iran, that it's being conducted within certain political parameters, and, you know, communication ongoing with Washington, a demonstration, as I say, of political power, projection of military capability. Doesn't mean it's not something we should be worried about, but it also, you know, doesn't mean that there's a full-scale interstate war in the Middle East about to break out. But suffice to say that the dangers do escalate almost by the day at this point. Anyway, food for thought there on the overall situation in the Middle East. I hope you've gained something from that. As they be alert, don't be alarmed. I mean, to borrow the phrase from the so-called counter-terrorist campaign of a few years ago. Not to be facetious about it, but no, I hope you've gained something from that. We're going to be back soon with more, and hopefully we can get our guest on the line. This is B-Movie Heroes with Social Distraction.